Welcome in on this Thursday afternoon. Why are you looking like that, Scrape? I think I sound just fine.
Good. I didn't have my headphones on.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Hello, sir.
Hey. Welcome to town. It's today's Christmas for me in August.
Oh, yeah.
I Christmas Day. Tony put out the draft order.
Oh, my goodness.
Fantasy football draft. I've been doing mock drafts all morning. Scrape, I'm a happy guy.
He was literally...
I'm a happy guy.
I thought he was joking when he said it during the roundtable, and I happened to look down at his phone.
I was really doing a draft.
And he was literally doing a draft as we were starting the roundtable.
Yeah, I had to put it away. I couldn't quite keep up.
I can't do it. I can't do the fantasy football guy thing.
You know what? Don't do it then. How about that? We could get people to take your spot.
I know you can. I'm not even in the text group, so.
Well, I mean,
And the bill will come due. Don't think I won't come collect. I will have you in
Wait,
the...
Wait, does he still owe from last year?
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, he paid up from last year. But when the time comes, I put everybody in the same text chain, and we put check marks. So everybody gets to see who is paid and who is holding up the payday at the end.
Holding up the process.
Tony loves that part.
Well, here's the funny thing. Why does it bother you that I enjoy doing a mock draft? What does that even have to do with you?
It's because you do it during the show.
And I am not doing anything at all during the show.
You were just doing one during the roundtable.
Yeah, but not this show.
Well, you know that you're going to do... It's an obsession of Chris's. It's an addiction.
I enjoy it. Why is that bad?
Because doing a thousand mock drafts...
He doesn't like...
He's
people
a Grinch.
That enjoy
He's
something.
A Grinch.
Yeah, he doesn't like that.
Oh, you're telling me?
He doesn't
that
like.
I'm the Grinch.
You don't like the fact that there's something out there that I enjoy doing. So that bothers you. That's the answer. Anyway, it's like Christmas.
Wow.
Thank
Seems
you,
kind of close.
Thank you, Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm gonna fix it in the break.
Okay,
we're all excited. The draft is upon us. Is there still a baseball season we got to finish
there
up?
There is. Okay. We are down to 34 games, I believe.
Isn't that crazy?
34.
Which is one of two things. It's either seems like just a very little amount, or it's like, you mean we've been playing all this time and there's still 34 games left?
Yeah, I see it. The
which way?
The first one.
The first one.
Yeah, like.
Like you're close to the finish line.
It's crazy that we have played that many games and we only have this many left.
Yeah, right. Here we are. And
big week, though, for the pods. I think we kind of went over this. You guys will get a chance to hear the round table in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah. Wait a minute. We can't call it that anymore. You have to check with Jaden Daniels as to whether or not you're allowed to call it the 5
you know
o'clock
what?
Hour.
We need to have that conversation because we have not been able to discuss
No,
this.
You haven't been able to. We decided to join with everyone else on Earth now.
We felt
that
like
is giving him a hard time.
We'll do it.
I think I agree.
Okay. Well, then there you go. So I'm sorry.
The
final hour will be the
final.
Will be the round table today. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But big week for the Padres. Big homestand, I should say. They go 3-3 on that road trip. I thought, as I said, as you'll hear me say later, I thought they smoked off two games in New York.
They had to feel that way, right?
They had. I would think so.
Yeah.
Especially the last one. I mean, if Song completes that double, if they get that double play, they come back. That's for at least a tie ball game in the ninth.
All I wanted, we were joking, honestly, and this is seriously joking, but Adam and I were joking. They should have sent Austin Hayes up there at the last at bat and said, whatever you do, don't swing. Pretend it's like Little League. You either walk or strike out, because all we really want is for Fernando to bat
to the plate.
There.
Yeah.
And the double play obviously took us out, and that was a really frustrating game yesterday in so many different ways. I felt like I don't think the New York Mets pitching staff in whole was ever ahead on account almost the whole day. It was 3-0, 3-1. The Padres looked like they were just ready to pounce, and it just never happened. So, and I feel bad that Song made that because he was rushing it. He didn't, you know, if he didn't have to rush it, but it's really the only bad play I've seen him make all year. It's the first mistake I can think of. So it's kind
of
hard to be too critical.
It just
of
comes
it.
At like a terrible
yeah,
time.
Came at a bad time, but
You know, outside of that, got the Pirates coming to town. Or they come here after
Twinkies.
The Twins.
Yeah.
Who are playing some good baseball. Now, that being said, the Guardians were playing good baseball before
the Padres. Really
the American League is just not strong outside of the the top tier teams.
You don't want to look past anybody ever. No. But I pointed it out. The Rockies, honestly, the worst team in the NBA. They have a winning record against the American League. So that tells you where the American League is this year. But I think you're right, Tony, about the home games meaning a lot. And if you look at the standings right now, the Padres are 31-34 on the road. The Diamondbacks are 31-34 on the road. Both the exact same. So to me, it's going to come down to how you do at home. Of course, the Padres get the last three at home against Arizona. But, you need to make hay at home. Yeah. And, I don't like to say 5-1 because I think that's just hard to do. To me, I just say 1-0, get that first one and get the ball rolling tomorrow night and, take it from there. So,
yeah.
I was more upset that they let Robert Stock make them look bad. And Robert Stock, if people don't remember, I'm being really mean to the guy. He's more of like, to me, a gimmick pitcher. Like, he wants to throw 106. He wants to throw like a gyro ball, and that's cool and everything, but he's on a major league mound. You cannot let that guy beat you.
You're wrong. Bear misinformation. What? Tony will agree with me. He wasn't on the mound yesterday.
He sure wasn't. He was not.
He was never on the mound.
He was.
That was part of the issue with him.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I know. Tony will tell you.
He was playing on the line of being engaged with the rubber and not being engaged. He was all the way on the third base side.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I don't know I don't know if this has been an issue when he has pitched.
But because
from
the
other
Mets
teams,
put it on their television
the Mets
broadcast.
Had it on their broadcast. And I'm looking. I was like, his foot is not touching the rubber at all.
And that's illegal.
Padres had alerted the umpires about it. There was conversation about it. But they deemed it not.
It didn't lead anywhere.
But he was certainly using it. You could tell that the angle he was creating was giving the Padres a little bit of issue.
Because he wasn't standing in front of the rubber by a little bit, which some guys maybe you think are trying to get an advantage, be closer to home plate. He was wide of the rubber.
It was both. It was both.
Okay, he was like throwing, almost shaking hands with the third baseman because he was too far over off the rubber. So his ball was coming in at a different angle.
Yeah.
So I can understand how that could be an issue.
It was they definitely let him off the hook there early when he was walking guys. And that was part of it, right? That's part of them, not taking advantage. And then, but listen, I think all in all, you take the 3-3.
You take the 3-3.
You come home. And now you get to work. This team's coming off of a 5-1 homestand.
Yeah, let's do it
again. Previous one. So they got to keep it up. But right now, the best part about this ball club is their starting rotation. And tomorrow they haven't named a starter. I believe it's Vasquez's spot in the rotation.
Right. Last time it was his spot, they went with an opener, actually, before he came in. I don't even think you, Tony, unless you read Kevin Acey's newsletter, which Scraby now has me doing on a regular basis.
I've been telling this guy about this newsletter for like 7 years.
Newsletter.
It's got some good
for
stuff.
For 7 years, and then he started reading it like the last 3 weeks. And
I finally came around.
Can't stop talking about
it. But, well, here's why. Because it underscores what Tony just said. Their starting pitching has been great. They currently, and this doesn't sound like much, but they have thrown four consecutive quality starts.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4. Bueller, King, Mize, Robbie Ray. All four quality starts. Now you say, well, that didn't sound like much. The last time the Padres did that was May of last year.
Yeah.
Not this year, last year. And we talked about this. I thought Brian Lawrence was in last week, Tony, when you were on the road in the roundtable. He did a great job. I'll be honest with you. I hope he comes on the show again because he was really, really good.
V-Law's good, man.
He was. But what he said is he thinks the big key the last month and a half is the starters pitching enough so that the bullpen can be the bullpen.
Right.
And right now, if you get a quality start like this, that is going to allow the bullpen to be the bullpen.
Here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
And those four consecutive six-inning starts,
right?
Padres go 1-2-2.
Yeah, right. You'd like to win them.
You got
to
win them.
Yeah, you're right.
But either way, it sets up the bullpen regardless of how it goes.
As long as the bullpen is healthy and happy and has some energy, you feel good. Like, to me, that was a terrible game for Morejon the other night because two guys got on base. That was like a bad outing, it seemed like. So, that's really important, and I give, the starters are doing the job right now, and so that bodes well.
Yeah, that bodes very well. Toddy obviously was the show.
Was he just how much of the talk of New York was that Tony? His, you know, his tour de force.
I tell you,
it was
what,
one of the best games any players ever had.
I tell
I
you
hate
what,
to
that,
tell you.
That young man's timing for having these moments.
Yeah,
there are very few people who.
You think if he did that on a Wednesday in Cincinnati, it would have been that big of a deal?
I mean, it wouldn't have been as big a deal.
Yeah, right.
That's
as
for
big.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just he picks like the perfect times. He's in New York. I mean, the Padres, based on how these the first and last game, they're going to got swept if he doesn't play.
He drove in half the runs in the series.
He drove in almost all of the runs on what was that
Tuesday? Yeah,
he saved four. He was like a plus eight on the day if they had plus minus for
you know,
one player.
It's so funny that
he wants to he's been dying for this because he got really angry about it.
I got really angry at Sam about this because Sam was on the post game show saying he was a plus minus of seven because he drove in three runs and he took away four runs.
Right.
And so he was like, oh, no one thinks this is a good idea. And I was like, this is a great idea, Sam. So he dismisses it, goes into Craig Stammen's post game. And then Craig Stammen said the same exact thing.
Plus seven.
And
that
ever
he was
since,
a plus seven, yeah.
People were saying the plus minus thing, so, and Sam never addressed it on the air.
First of all, it's only fun doing plus minus if a dude is doing all
those
things.
Yes, it doesn't
right?
come into play very often.
It doesn't come into play
next
at
time,
all.
Yeah.
But that is how crazy of a game
I guess
that
was. He
was
a plus
right.
two yesterday because he drove in a run and threw out a runner
right,
at the plate.
Right. Plus
if
two
you want
yesterday.
To do that. But,
right.
Now, he had a great series, and I mean, I don't know what the reaction was live. I do know, I mean, Scraby's, you know, saving your call for prosperity.
Oh, I have it right here. I haven't heard it yet.
I'm playing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, you know when I go, when you said the Washington's no longer going to be the Redskins,
oh,
and I went,
yes, I do.
I now have competition.
Whoa.
Okay, that's that. But now there's competition from Tony on the save.
Yeah, we're going to start, and then I'll come back to
Here's
it.
Here's the 1-0. Lindor hits it in the air, deep down the right field line. Fernando all the way into the corner. At the wall. Leaps up. And did he catch it? He's holding. He's waiting.
That.
He did.
He
what a play.
This is my favorite part.
At the wall.
I mean, I'm so happy I have some competition now.
I love this because you can tell that your brain broke.
Well, it did. It was just a reaction.
As
that's all
I
it
explained,
was.
Yeah, on the round table, the
his you were the only guy who really saw it right away.
His hat threw me for a loop for like a half a second. Like I thought he spiked his hat. His hat just came flying
it
off.
It was just perfectly cool,
right? And so that thing that was part of my brain like trying to process. Wait. He didn't throw his hat down, did he?
It was an amazing catch. I've watched it so many times. I love watching all the Mets fans because they're like, I can't believe he just caught that, and I can't believe
the
grand slam's off the board.
Like, it was like it was like a rise of tension, and then it was like, oh.
50,000 people had the balloon air go out. The other thing about the play that I don't know that's being talked about enough, Tony, and I'll let you address it as an outfielder. It's one thing to me if he was standing there, he had gotten to the fence, stands there, times his leap, jumps up and catches it. That's hard. But what he did to me was catch it on the run and leap at the fence. You see, am I right, or did he ever get stationary? It looked like he still was moving over a little bit and leaping at the same time.
This one is very reminiscent of the one he had here, where he didn't have time to really set, and it's probably better because that wall is high. You kind of need
so you want to be on the move.
You're right, and I think in both cases it's a 1 foot jump for him, and I think for most athletes. You jump higher off of one than you do off of a 2 foot gap.
Yeah, I'd say that's all right.
And
yeah.
So I think it was again a lot of these plays are part athletic, part instinct, but part just like everything lines up. The right trajectory of the ball, the right part of the stadium.
You arrive at the right moment.
It's just perfect. It's just perfect. As I said, a dude has a sense for those type of things, man.
Yeah. I just wish I was as cool as Fernando for at least like 10 seconds.
You didn't wish you were as cool as him, nor did too many people wish they were as cool as him in May and June.
I still would have swapped a...
You would have still gone
for it. I
would
have swapped life for a couple hours.
Smart man.
I would have done that just to see what it was like.
I honestly do remember the day here. It was an afternoon, maybe Thursday game, and I think he hit one right to the fence. He thought he got all of it, and the guy hauled it in, and... He went back to the dugout, and he was fit to be tied. You could just tell. Nobody went over to him. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where you really can't say anything. You just have to let the guy be in his own moment.
How tall is that wall?
I mean, he had to get a little low there at some point, but he fought through it, and that's to his credit.
I think the moment he stopped caring about hitting homers is when it all changed.
Probably.
I mean, he has been a good hitter for, you know, the better part of since June. And it just took a while for the homers to start to come flowing the way they have here at recently. But I think he's been swinging. I mean, he's hitting almost 290 at this point, 280 right now?
Yeah, it's 280.
You know, 290 may not sound like an incredible number.
Shoot.
There's only five guys in the majors shooting over 300
right
now.
That's what I'm saying.
So 290, he's almost close to winning the batting title right now.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the power has come, but... He's been raking for quite some time now, and it's nice to see it all coming together. Most importantly, right at the right time as the Padres start to hit this home stretch. Padres will, or at least are scheduled to see Skeens in this next go-around. Anybody is excited to see him this time
around?
It's
his first time he's ever pitched here, but it's not the real Skeens at the moment.
It's so funny, right? Like, everybody's thinking to themselves, like, man, he's not even like pitching like his normal self. But I mean, do you really want him to be pitching like his normal self against the Padres?
No, you'd rather him continue throwing 4 or 5 miles underneath what he normally does.
Right. I mean, so in some ways, it's like
that's the Tuesday game. I mean, his ERA is over 5 for the last 19 starts.
I think they gave him some extra rest before this last go around, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm worried about Skeens, not Tuesday, but beyond. Yeah, I just wonder if he can get it back. I still worry about Mizorowski every time I see him go out there. I just don't think the body is designed to throw that hard that many times.
Yeah.
And I hope for Skeens' sake and for Mizorowski, they're able to keep it going because they're good for the game. I don't want to face these guys, but they're good for the game.
For sure.
So,
all right, let's get the break. Marcelo Balboa will join us later on in the 2 o'clock hour, talk a little SDFC coming off of a tough 3-1 loss to Portland. Ethan Salas turning some heads down in the 3A. Prospects of him maybe showing up. We'll get into that along with everything else. Morgan and Chris.
All right. See, I'll take... I got Bijan in the first round. Sorry. Here we go.
I knew it.
Yeah. The draft is coming up, baby. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris.
Tony, this is what I deal with.
222 is the time. I'm just going to move. I'm going to forge right on
here.
I really am. Forging on. We're underway. We're rolling. Marcelo Balboa talking some soccer, some other football in the bottom of the hour. A couple of good baseball games today, including a wild finish in Cincinnati where it was 5-4 Reds.
I'm sorry.
I
can't give. Scraby was defending. He said sunball earlier about
it. Wasn't
this,
a sunball?
No, no.
He just dropped the ball.
He just dropped it.
Oh, I was just assuming it was a sunball because it's such a bad drop.
No.
Yeah, 5-4. Reds were one out away from victory. Fly ball to center. Dane Myers, I believe, out there for the Reds, dropped it. 2 runs scored. 6-5 Cardinals. Then they scored 4 more to go up 10-5. But the Reds came back, got 4 in the bottom of the 9th, and then loaded the bases. Matt McClain, who had earlier hit a grand slam, nearly hit another one, and it was caught at the wall. Cardinals win it 10-9.
That is a crazy ending.
That's a crazy game. Yeah, and so with that, the Cardinals creep a little closer, by the way, to the Padres in this wild card. You know, we're looking at the Diamondbacks a game back. Cardinals are next on the list, 2.5 back. So, you know, suffice to say, to me, like, you don't worry about all the other teams, right? You just got to win your game, and then the standings will take care. Now, the Phillies have won 6 in a row. So they've gone 2 up on the Padres. But I haven't given up the chase of them at all. You know, they could go back into a little of a skid here. But a good streak for the Phillies. So the Padres are in the sixth spot right now.
That's exactly why you have to just worry about yourself. Because on one hand, the Phillies could be winning six straight. On the other hand, the Diamondbacks could have lost three. And you just got to take care of your business. That's
it. Yeah. And we said we thought that they would take 86 wins. I remember everyone kind of seemingly agreeing on that. And at the time, they were going to have to play really, really good to get to 86. Well, now they would have to go 18-16 is all to get to 86. Now, so now I'm going to revise that and say let's get to 88 because 18-16 seems very doable. But again, it's just going to come down to taking care of the business at home. Starts tomorrow. The Twins, by the way, this is a possible World Series preview, guys. Because the Twins are the American League sixth seed right now. So, you know, they're 63-65, but that's good enough
to get
the final spot in the American League.
No offense. I don't think that's how MLB wants to go out the end of the season with the Twins playing the Pods.
You look it up, but when I think it was the Phillies. Who did the Phillies play that one year when they beat the Padres?
They played the Astros. They played the Astros, yeah.
Okay, I don't know that was it. Maybe the next year, the Diamondbacks and Rangers. I think they might have both been number sixes that year. Yeah. Or 4-6, a 5-6, something like that. Crazy things can happen in the playoffs. We definitely know that.
For sure.
All right, Brewers won today 7-4. Beat the Mariners. That was a weird series. 22-0. Tony, what do you do if you're Julio Rodriguez? Now, it's 19-0. If you're ever going to throw the ball and have a brain cramp, I guess 19-0 would be the time. But, like, where would you go when you got back in the dugout after throwing the ball up in the stands with two outs? You got to get back in there.
You're not going nowhere. You got to go sit on the bench and just wear it.
Not going nowhere.
I think going to hide looks worse. So
catching a cab out of there is not going to work at that point.
You threw the ball up there. You got lost. You lost track of the outs. It happens.
Well,
I don't know that everybody throws the ball in the stands, but you definitely, guys lose track of outs.
Yeah, it does happen.
And so you just got to, own it. Don't do it again.
Don't do it again. Larry Walker did it once at Dodger Stadium, handed the ball to the fan. And then he ran back over and got it back.
The boy gave it back to him, too.
The poor kid. I don't wonder if the kid ever really got a ball on that one.
In 2026, that kid is not handing that ball back.
Yeah. Well, look what happened to Betts in the World Series a couple years ago. trying to catch the fly ball.
Trying to take his arm off.
I forgot all about those guys. Those guys were so cool that day, too.
Fans are a little bit tougher to get the ball back. PCA has been continuing his exploits, Tony. Hits the leadoff homer, then walk-off homer in the same game the other night, then homers in the next game. They keep saying it's between him and Ohtani.
Tony's thrusting right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to be thrusting anymore. I'll let you guys. Tony's got some rhythm. I certainly don't.
I mean, he's doing it too much because he's doing some great things.
Chris. Well, he's thrusting on every at bat now because he's always doing something. But why is Ohtani really in the running with him for MVP?
People seem to think so.
I mean, I don't know why. I mean, Ohtani's having a year, 30 home runs for him, but that's pretty pedestrian.
I think he still pitches, though.
And I know. Yeah, I know. So, but when does this end? Does Ohtani just get to be the MVP forever?
We talked about this. I said this last year. I was like, if that is going to be the standard,
then no one else is in it.
It's a wrap. Every year. He could just have a mediocre, pitching year if he wanted, but he's not. I mean,
yeah, he's there's no doubt he's great, but right. I think even, and I'm the most critical PCA guy, but PCA's been in the middle of everything that's happened. I think he has to be the front runner right now.
I think as of now, that is how they have voted. If someone else wins, they will be dispelling the notion that simply hitting and pitching is enough to be the MVP. As of now, that has been the case.
Yeah. So that's kind of a fun little race going on. You were here yesterday, Tony, but the crazy coincidence that Pete Crow Armstrong grew up in Los Angeles and both his parents were actors.
Yeah, she was in the movie.
Little Big League.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they were also in the television show Heroes, which was also a show that had Hayden Panettiere in it, who passed away early this week.
Who was in Heroes?
PCA's mom and dad. They were
what characters were
they? Were not main characters, but they were in the show.
Huh.
Hayden Panettiere was good friends with them.
Just wait, how sad this is.
This is crazy. Hayden Panettiere babysat Pete Crowe Armstrong.
Really?
Yeah. He said he had a what huge a crush weird on her. And I was like, well, duh.
What a weird connection.
Hayden Panettiere babysitting you.
Yeah, she was.
That's
she
what
was
sad.
Cute. That what a sad
did
connection
you see
that
I
is.
Said that?
Yeah, he brought it up.
It was in the CBS New York, NBC Chicago.
He has talked about the story.
He's talked about it,
yeah.
But it came up obviously this week because of her passing.
Oh wow!
But that was a strange connection.
Someone says we don't know how to pronounce her last name, and I don't really know.
Who's
Panettiere?
Yeah, you could go a bunch of different ways there.
Is she
in Baseball Reference? Can we look her up? Because that's the only way I can. It's either Baseball Reference or Jesse, and I don't have Jesse. Handy,
yeah, Jesse's not around, so he can't help you.
Yeah. NFL stuff. Tony, speak to me. Second day in a row. Yesterday was the Cowboys and the Saints brawling at practice. Today, the Dolphins and the Giants. And I think it's getting beyond now, really, where these guys are just scuffling and pushing and shoving. Punches are being thrown. Players are being removed from practices. The Cowboys and Saints were fined $500K. I don't know who finds them. Yeah, who finds them? The NFL? Are they not allowed to have a practice brawl?
I guess not.
NFL
says the competition committee has made a sportsmanship ruling here and said that, they're fined for their roles in that brawl. So I don't know how long. It's getting a little crazy with that. I want to compete. But.
Are you asking me like my thoughts on the fighting? Is that what you said?
No. Well, I guess that, and like I said the other day, maybe the coaches need to back down a little. The coaches always say we don't want you to fight, but they kind of want you to fight because they like it.
I think it's just part of the whole toughness thing.
It is football.
I think it's inevitable, right? I mean, these dudes have been at this point facing off against one another for however many weeks.
Yeah.
You can't wait to play. I know how that is in say college, right? The first time you get to inner squad somebody else, the moment, and then it's football. So now you got dudes trying to like literally trying to take you out.
It's the only way you can make a team. Sometimes you have to get attention somehow. 100%. Do you not?
I have a question in the Big Five about this because Saquon Barkley was asked.
Yes,
whether
he doesn't
he
like
likes
it.
Joint practice.
He doesn't like them.
I can see the running back.
Yes, because they said in the Dolphin Giant thing today that some guys were getting planted pretty good. Again, because if you're a defensive player, you want the coaching staff to see you put the hit on.
Right.
Even if you're not really supposed to do it.
They're going to chastise you there, but when they go to that film, they ain't going to have no choice but to be like, man, that's...
Oh, we might want to get this guy in the game.
He filled the hole there pretty well, sir.
He's hitting somebody.
You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's become the only highlight of preseason football, which is completely
they play harder
in those
games than they do during the preseason games.
Yeah, the preseason has really been totally made irrelevant.
Never mind, we have to go to break.
All right, we will do that when we come back. Marcelo Balboa, we're going to talk some football with him. Still ahead in the 3 o'clock hour, fun news a segment today. Scraby's worried about it. It's called Fun with Football.
Yeah, he keeps selling this word fun, which
yeah. Well,
me.
I'm looking out for the listeners. I'm not really concerned about you very much.
Tony, that doesn't. Have you noticed how many times he's tried to tell us this segment is going to be fun?
It is going to be fun.
I believe
you're going to enjoy it.
I believe him.
You're going to probably lose in the end.
I always
but that
have
I can't
a good
help
time
you with.
When he comes up with these segments. It's always fun for me.
Fun with Football coming up later. Goodness. I guess we're all in studio today, if you can't tell. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Go, 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 Shawty. It's your birthday.
That takes me back to college right there. Good times.
Fade it down because I get nervous. There's a swear word.
239.
Yeah, they didn't play that for us when I was in kindergarten and that came out. Oh, no, wait. I'd be the other way.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I'd be really old. Sorry. Never mind. My mind's messed up with the draft. Sorry, Tom.
So, yeah, you got to put those drafts down for a little bit. 2:39 on the clock.
Sorry to Marcelo for having to hear all this.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn, Jr., Crisello, Matt Scraveley. Let's get to our guest of the day. Marcelo Balboa joins us. You can hear him on MLS, Apple TV. Marcelo, how are you, my friend?
I am good, my friend. But we didn't have songs like that either when I was growing up, so we're good.
There we go.
Marcelo, SDFC coming off a tough loss at Portland. 3-1 game. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I was kind of following along on the scoreboard. It seemed like kind of Portland was controlling that game from the beginning.
Yeah, you know what? It's one, it's tough to play in Portland. Two, playing on the turf is a little different. And when you play the way San Diego played against LAFC, you expect a little bit of fatigue because they put it up on the table. Let's be honest. That was probably the best game I've seen them play this year, where they can move the ball. They were controlling. They got the penalty. They put it away. So there's always seems to be a lapse, you know what I mean? But, you know, enough time to regroup and get ready to recharge for Saturday's game.
Marcelo, this is the longest season of any sport I've ever seen. And I don't mean it good, bad, or indifferent. Just facts are the facts. Like, they started in February. We're here in August, and there's still 15 games left.
Yeah,
like, mentally, the mental grind for these guys, I know they had a break from it, but to go back and just say, God, we got to dig in for a lot, you know, another 2 months here, I think that's a challenge, hasn't it, Ben?
It's a huge challenge because we play right through the summer. They had almost 6 weeks off because of the World Cup. And then when you do come back, you go right into league play and League's Cup. So it is a little longer. It's going to change when we go back to when we go to the European schedule. It'll change a little bit. But, yeah, it's difficult because as an athlete, you want one preseason and then you play the rest of the year. This one, you got to have two preseasons. So that's the hard part for a player. But like I said, it'll change by next year, and then we will get back on to – we'll see how it does when we play winner, not for you guys, not for San Diego, but for and other states that it gets snow. It'll be fun to see how February, March, and April look like.
I mean, Marcelo, it would seem that the hurdle of climbing to have to restart. I just think about a baseball season. You come in February, and you pretty much have to stay locked in all the way until you get to October.
Yep.
And then when the season ends, you are mush for like a couple of weeks after as your brain kind of recovers. I would think stopping and starting and having to try to get to that mode would be more difficult than just kind of sustaining it the whole way.
Yeah, you've seen San Jose took off like a rocket, and now the second part of the season, they're stumbling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's going to happen to teams. It's the teams that adapt quickly. It's the teams that go out and get the right reinforcements for the second part of the season, that injection, that energy injection you need. So the teams that can handle that adversity is the teams that are going to be successful into the playoffs. Look where Houston was at the end of the first break. And now look where Houston's at. They're in first place.
Yeah.
They're sitting in first place. They bypassed LAFC. They bypassed everybody, and no one thought that they would be in there, but they've adapted quicker to anybody else. So it's not easy. This is going to be a challenging year. The team that does win the championship can honestly probably say this has probably been the roughest season just because of that break, come back, recharge yourself and fight now for the next 15 games to get into the playoffs.
Marcelo Balboa, the great Aztec, is joining us here from Apple TV, MLS, and talking MLS. SDFC, as Tony mentioned, lost the Portland match, won the one before that, as you said, against LAFC, which is the third place team. And I look, you know, we're third from the bottom, but it's really close, right? I don't mean that. Trying to knock us too bad.
Terrible.
I know, doesn't it sound terrible? But my point being, if two wins, you could go from 24 to 30 points and be right in the playoffs. So I know they're not giving it up because there's so much soccer left.
Yeah. No, listen, you're not giving anything up. You're going to fight. Listen, we know San Diego. We know the players they have. We know Mikey. This team's going to fight all the way to the end. And all you have to do is make the playoffs. That's it. Just make the playoffs. And I don't know about the knockout game, but if you can be from 7 and above, you don't have to play that knockout game. You don't have that extra game, and you have an opportunity. So that's a second season. So their goal right now is to find some consistency. You must win at home. That's a must now. 14 games left. You win your home games, you're in the playoffs. So you have to win this weekend.
Marcelo, I think the next biggest thing coming up is obviously SDFC was able to make the deal. They send Chucky Lozano to LA Galaxy.
Yep. Yep.
They come to town, I think, the next home game here for SDFC.
I will be there, my friend.
I mean, this took a long time to actually get done.
Yep.
How big of a deal do you think it's going to be for Chucky coming back here to maybe prove a point?
You know, I think as a player, you want to prove a point, but he's been out for so long that his job right now is to find a way to help his LA Galaxy team get into the playoffs. They're not that far off either. I think they're like 5 points off, 6 points off. So I know it's going to be emotional for Chucky. I know anytime you go back, it was emotional when I came back to Colorado when I got traded. But I think for Chucky, it's just getting himself fit, getting himself in a position where he can help his team and not try to do too much, because you always have a habit of trying to do too much when you come back and play your old team. And like I said, I hope, you know what, sports is sports. I hope that when Chucky comes, it's good for everybody. It seems like this is finally what San Diego can move on, Chucky can move on. And we can all just enjoy, you know, let Chucky do his thing and let San Diego do their thing.
I'm sure the fans will be very welcoming here, right? We seem to love the LA teams here in San Diego.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember beginning of last season, we were on here trying to plead with the fans to not go too crazy and overboard. So that could be a little while. Out of curiosity, now that we're a month and a half out, World Cup is over and done with.
Yeah.
It's starting to recede from a lot of people's minds. So where are we, you know, the excitement level in the world of soccer? Have we been able to hold on to some of that?
Yeah, 100%. You can see it in the stadiums. On a Wednesday night, LAFC in Colorado was almost sold out. And you go back a few years ago, Wednesday nights were very tough draws. So, yeah, I think that the excitement is still there. I think when you look at guys like Griezmann, you're pulling in Lewandowski, you're starting to pull in big time. So Messi's back, DePaul's back, Suarez is back. So, yeah. I think that the buzz is still there. I think the only mistake we might have made was this is the year that we should have gone. Last year, we should have changed the schedule to make sure that this year now we would be starting our season right now, after the World Cup. That momentum, and now, boom, in 2 weeks, you start, you're running just like the EPL, and we took off and running. So I think we waited maybe a year too late to make that move, but it is what it is. We just got to keep moving forward.
Real quick, on the east side of MLS, Nashville's at the top, Inter Miami's right behind them. How good is this Nashville team compared to this Inter Miami team that has kind of been the top-notch squad of the league?
Well, let's see. Nashville's good. Let's be honest. They're playing pretty good soccer right now. They're when you beat Miami like the way they beat them the other day. But we all know that Miami's not done with the transfer market. We know that there'll be players. So at the end of the day, let's be honest, Miami will be contending at the end of the year for a title along with Nashville. And then from there, we'll see who else can sneak up. So there will be some surprises. There will be some surprises on the east, just like the west.
Yeah.
There'll be some surprises. But I mean, right now, you've got to look at that more than likely it's Miami, Nashville, the two favorites to get out of that group and to make the final.
Marcelo, always appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks for coming on. We'll catch up again
soon. Thanks, Marcelo.
Anytime, boys. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marcelo.
Balboa.
He
was
okay.
Stuff was falling all over the place.
He was brought
there
to you by SDCCU Fan Hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking, it's better.
Indeed. A few minutes left before we head to break. Go ahead, Scrape.
Jeff on the chat, Chris, you know, you do notes on a scorecard, which I don't think Tony has ever heard because he's either flying or whatever.
Right.
Jeff wants you to do notes on a yellow card. For soccer?
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
That's a funny idea, but all my notes could fit on one yellow card.
Because you don't have many.
I don't know enough about soccer to do it.
Notes on a yellow card. I just called it notes on a yellow card. Notes on a scorecard, Tony, has quickly become one of the favorite segments.
That?
Chris goes, and during day games, when we have a post-post game show, he writes down notes on his Lori's shopping list and brings him in, and we call it notes on a scorecard. And he just goes through the game. And
I'll give you one, Tony, yeah, because I think I wanted to ask you about it because I think you could speak to it. But there are little things that I noticed throughout any game for both sides. But last night or yesterday in the ninth inning, the Padres had runners at first and second, and the tying run was at the plate. Sheets was the I just about called him Larry Sheets again. I always want to call him Larry. But he gets a base hit to right field. The first run scores, makes it a 4-2 game. The runner on first, Campusano, makes it to third, makes it pretty easily. But Carson Benj uncorks his throw from right field all the way through to third base. And I thought Bichette made a pretty good play to kind of block it, keep it in front of him, make sure that Sheets did not get to second as an outfielder. Did Benj make an error there? To me, that is an error. You cannot, at any, under any circumstances, give that runner a chance to go to second base. That kind of stuff is what we talk about.
Yes, he probably needs to keep the throw down enough to where it's hit.
Somebody can at least cut it, right?
But he also, I'm assuming, knows that Gavin's not running well because he's also a little bit beat up. I think that's kind of been
plantar fasciitis.
I think those are things that they go over in the scout report. But I think, to your point, the throw needs to be low enough where it can be cut and redirected. And that's just, you know, that's the thing with a young guy, right? He might make two throws that are, like, perfect.
Right, he threw two guys out the other night, but that might one could have cost them.
It might get good to him, and he thinks, I'm going to throw everybody out.
That could have cost them, because if Sheets gets to second base, understand now, Hayes does not hit into a double play. And, you know, the game could have been different. So those are the kinds of things we talk about in Notes on a Scorecard. You know, it was a tough series because the Padres should have won all three games, I feel like. And they can't think this way, but I can. We can as fans. I think the game Monday night, people are still having trouble getting past. You had a great comment today on the roundtable about third base coach Bob Henley and how he has become less demonstrative in sending the runners home, and he has a reason for being less demonstrative, but that could have contributed to Xander running through the stop sign the other day.
Yeah, no, it could have.
But tell the people, because that was really good. I didn't notice it. I don't think anybody notices it.
As an outfielder, you know, you're trying to find any edge you can to tip you off. You know, ball hits you, runner on second. You want to be able to approach this in a way where you know for sure this said third base coach is going to hold him. He's not going to, right? I know that they're watching me, which is also why it's important for outfielders to try to cut down the ground, because they're looking to see how fast you get to it and how much ground you've closed. So if they're watching you, that way they can make a good decision early. All right, I'm gonna wave this guy, but. And the flip side is, as I'm also watching them, because he's reading me getting there, and he may say, I don't care if he's cutting down, I'm sending him. I know at that point I can sell out and let this one go. And I think what Bob does a lot of times is you don't see him like the old school, like, you got to go.
Windmill.
You don't see that. You'll see him literally point home. That's it.
Yeah. Point.
Because he knows the outfielder's watching.
He doesn't want the outfielder to get a read on it.
He doesn't want to tip him off at all. Man. And so, you know, that's a great point you bring up about Bogey. Except those guys know it already. This might be new information for everybody out there, but the team knows it.
Bogaerts knows he's going to only point.
He's not going to be demonstrative, right? So, Bogey could have missed it, but I think he just
wanted to go before, and he felt he was going to make it.
Before that pitch even was thrown, he was thinking to himself, I'm scoring on anything on the
ground. And I think anybody who's on second base with two outs should be thinking
100%.
They're going to have to really hold me up, because otherwise, that's, to me, you got to score. But the only mistake made Monday was the very first one, and Bob Henley addressed it, said he got a bad read on Cronenworth not getting a good jump. And that's where that mistake, but a mistake happens. The other two plays were good throws that got him at the plate. Life goes on. You just got to keep battling. You got to get a cut, like more than one hit the rest of the game.
That too.
Yeah.
Get some break. More going to Chris on the other side. David Gammon coming up next.